Okay, now we're recording. Okay, so you should see in front of you a Haggadah. That doesn't necessarily mean your Haggadah. It's kedai to look at your own Haggadah, but this is just for those that don't have. I want to start by sharing with you a beautiful words. And I think all of us are going to try a little bit to connect this to the situation that we're in. I want to start with the beautiful words of a Rav in Toronto. His name is Rabbi Moshe Kanner. He writes very beautiful Torah, and he has a very poetic way about him. And Rabbi Kanner raises the point. He wrote an article just a few days ago, and he says as follows. He says, this year we can write our own manishtana. We can have a number of new questions this year. Manishtana halayla zeh, how different is this Pesach from all other Pesachs? This night from all the other classical Seder nights? On all the other Seder nights, we're together with family. And on this night, we're many of us are alone. On all the other Seder nights, we have thunder and lightning, and we have beautiful effects, and we have incredible chemistry. And this Seder night, for many people, will be simple, quiet, and still. On all other nights, there might be a certain bedlam, but there's a beautiful simcha and calmness. And on this Seder night, there's a hidden tension. On all other nights, there's organization, or at least attempted. And on this Seder night, there's a suddenness, a lack of preparation, a tumultuousness. There's something very special about this Seder night. And it's different, and it's very different. You know, somebody shared with me that because there are some chevre here that might go to hotels, and so people are missing the hotels, and I'm not going to comment on that in Ofen Klali, but some people are trying to figure out how to replicate the hotel experience at home. So some people are thinking about what room to make the tea room, and what room, you know, who's going to do the comedy the first night and the second night. But Lamaisa, there's something very special and beautiful about this type of Pesach that we're in. And Rabbi Kanner brings to our attention something very special based on the Medrash. This is the first thought I want to share with you as an introduction to thinking about Pesach, because let's remember, every Pesach, the Iker is to transmit the Mesorah. But if we think it's to transmit the Mesorah, the tradition, only to our children, and if we don't have children that are around, so how can we fulfill the mitzvah of the Ganito Labincha? For many people, some people on this chat and some people that you know, they will be doing their Seder alone. Or if they won't be doing their Seder alone, they'll be doing it without children. So how can you fulfill the mitzvah v'igadita l'bincha without children? The answer primarily is that the Gemara already speaks of this. Because the mitzvah v'igadita l'bincha, listen, chevra, carefully, is not about teaching your children. Certainly, that's a beautiful way to fulfill the mitzvah, but the Gemara is very clear that the mitzvah v'igadita l'bincha is, even if you are alone. I have a friend of mine who used to say, when he walks into shul, then they have the minyan. He has many personalities. He has multiple personalities. So what's going to be? On Seder night, we're going to talk to ourselves. The Teretz is, the Gemara says, we talk to ourselves. And therefore, the mitzvah v'igadita l'bincha is be'etzem, essentially, the Rambam teaches us based on the Gemara, we question and we answer and we go back and forth within ourselves. And the Midrash says, and with this I'll conclude my Akdama. The Akdamas can be longer than the other Divrei Torah, but I said that we're going to try to do about 3 to 5 minutes or 3 to 6 minutes each part, to the best of our abilities. But the Midrash says that Avraham Avinu is the first one that celebrated Pesach. The Medrash Rabbah tells us in Gracious Rabbah Memches that Avram Avinu celebrated Pesach when the Malachim came, when the angels came. And it's fascinating to point out that when the Malachim came that first time, when they came, Avram Avinu greeted them during the day. But at night, the night before, who was at the Seder? Who was at the Seder the night before? There were no, the Avraham Avinu didn't have Yitzchak at the Seder. And there was no mitzvah ligalta levincha to Yishmael. The first Seder in Jewish history, the Torah in Siman Tov Yud Zayin, Orach Chaim 4:17. The famous halachic work says that Pesach is keneged Avraham Avinu. The first Seder on record was Avraham Avinu's quiet Seder with his wife. We are rekindling and we are reconnecting for many people that first Seder, the Seder of quietude. Echad Haya Avram. Avraham Avinu was quiet and he was connected the whole world. This is really the essence of Seder night. So it's something to think about when we have the quiet Sidarim, a little bit for us to think that it's really special and it's an opportunity. There's no hoopla, but there is just the Seder. Halayla azeh kulo Pesach. Not to figure out where does everybody sit and who gets the pillows and who gets the Seder plates and who gets the Kiddush cups. On this Seder night with the three or four or two or one person, we get to share emuna like Avraham Avinu. It's a pleasure and honor to ask Rabbi Horowitz, Yedidi Ahuvi, the world famous Rav of Mekor HaChaim, the fantastic speaker, to share with us Divrei Torah on this beautiful evening of the Haggadah.
Shkayach, Rabbi Brander, and Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Heller. Pleasure to see you. Maybe just to dovetail a little bit on that which Rabbi Brander is saying, it's very interesting to note that there's no other Yom Tov that we have the entire year that revolves around something called a Seder. We don't have on Sukkot that we have to sit down and go through all the different 15 stages to be able to understand the meaning of Sukkot. We don't have on Shavuos night. Shavuos, yeah, you have a Seder of Achila maybe, you have cheesecake and you have blintzes and you have sushi, you have all those things, but we don't have a Seder in which a person has to go through each and every step of the way in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Higata Lebincha, of telling over what is the Maisa, what is the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And of course, it begs the question of why did Chazal see fit that if every single Yom Tov that we have, that the Yom Tov which is going to exemplify our Seder, the order of everything that's going to take place, is over here on the night of Leil Seder, the night of Pesach itself. What's so intrinsic about a Seder and the Yom Tov of Pesach together? So perhaps we can say over the following idea. The Rosh writes in his Sefer Orchis Chaim that there is a mitzvah called Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. There's a mitzvah to believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. I should say, Sichom Me'eretz Mitzrayim Yibeis Avadim. I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he took me out of Mitzrayim, out of the house of bondage. Says the Rosh over there in his famous words, Mishalom Ma'amin B'Seif HaPasik. Someone who doesn't believe in the end of that verse, which is that Hashem is the one who took me out of Mitzrayim in the house of bondage. Lomaimin b'tchilas ha-pasuk, he doesn't believe in the beginning of the pasuk of the verse as well, which means he doesn't truly believe in Hashem. The only way that a person can believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam is if you believe in what Yetzias Mitzrayim stands for. And the Exodus from Egypt stands for one major central theme. And that is that was something that we call Hashkacha Pratis. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is setting up all the details. Everything that is going to take place in history and in our individual lives. HaKol Bidei Shemayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu designs everything to perfection. Says the Rosh, if you don't believe that Hashem is the Mashkiach, and that Hashem is running the world, and that Hashem is involved in your life, and that Hashem knows exactly what He's doing, then you simply don't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, the night of the Seder, which is the greatest expression of fulfilling the mitzvah of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, to remind ourselves of the Exodus from Egypt, it is the greatest night where we express our gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam for all of the miracles that He made for the nation then, and all of the many nisim and nefilos that He's made throughout history that we should be here today. If on that night a person cannot appreciate that there is a Seder, that there's an order to the world, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything, then you simply miss the entire tachlis, the purpose of the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Pesach itself. We're supposed to walk away from a Seder where we realize that not only did Hashem know what He was doing when He brought the Eden down to Mitzrayim, not only was He watching carefully over them all of those hundreds of years in slavery, not only was He in charge when it came to the Makkos and destroying Mitzrayim and bringing us out the Chippazon in an instant, but we have to know that in our lives as well, He's the same exact Mashkiach that He was in Mitzrayim by the Beis HaMikdash, when we were leaving Spain, when there was the Germans and the German Jews. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mashkiach. Which means that a Jew has to walk away from the Seder understanding that there is tremendous Seder, there's tremendous order in the world, and there's tremendous order in my life as well, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what He is doing. And in these times that we are living in right now, I'm sorry to run over, but in these times that we are living in right now, where the world seems to have no order, and there's no rhyme, and there's no reason, and nobody in a million years will ever figure out why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing what He's doing. Nobody will. In Shemayim they know, in the Olam HaEmes they see everything clearly. But in our lifetime, in our children's lifetime, Be'ez Hashem, Mashiach will come and then we'll see it all. But we'll never figure it out. But don't think for one moment that Hashem doesn't know what He's doing. And we can't think for a single second that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, things are happening right now in the world, happenstance and by chance. Rather, HaKol Bidei Shemayim, everything is with an order, everything is with a plan. And as we go through the Seder together, and as we go through a Yom Tov with ourselves, or our spouses, our mishpachas, one thing that we can keep driving home, and that is that Emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam means, I believe in Hashem, because I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything and runs everything, and therefore that's what solidifies my Emunah, my faith, the strong wellsprings of faith that I have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Just want to thank Rabbi Heller as well for being mishtatef. There's a very busy old Baruch Hashem. He's at home. Baruch Hashem, can I know a beautiful mishpacha? And I want to thank him in advance. Rabbi Heller is the mashkiach in Chavetz Chaim Yeshiva and the Rebbe in the 12th grade. A big yashar koach to him. And I just want to just add this one point to Rabbi Horowitz, that a practical point that we could learn, that if it's about hashgacha pratis, and maybe we should walk in prepared and share with our children or our parents or our siblings two or three or four practical hashgacha pratis insights into our own lives that we have felt over the last few days. If you want to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu the one that took you out of Mitzrayim, we're in Mitzrayim now. And I think it could be a very beautiful way to enhance the Seder in a real way. Take that vort and bring it home. Rabbi Heller.
Okay, shalom aleichem to everybody. Big shalom aleichem to all of you in Dallas. I see some of you in Dallas tuning in, my old friends. Obviously, I don't belong here among such great and holy rabbis. Rabbi Brander, my Rechami, my father-in-law, and Rabbi Horowitz, the Mara D'Astra. And I don't really belong here, so it's a big schutz that I will be able to share some Torah with all of you in unprecedented times. I wanted to follow up a little bit on what Rabbi Horowitz was saying, some of the beautiful, beautiful ideas that Rabbi Horowitz was saying, and my father-in-law, by way of introduction, and shed perhaps a slightly different light to Leil HaSeder, but really I think it's the same words Rabbi Horowitz was saying, just in a slightly different, same message, slightly different words. So the question is a beautiful question, which is, why are we calling this night Leil HaSeder? Why do we have this Seder? Why is it called Leil HaSeder, the night of the Seder? And Rabotai, when we go through the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Leil HaSeder, we have to understand something very important about what's going on. If we miss this point, I believe we are missing the ikar of what the whole entire Haggadah is about. We know that there's an inyan to ask questions on Leil HaSeder. Manishtana Laila Zemikol Alelais. We ask questions. Now, interesting in Halacha, even if you're a Talmud Chacham, that knows the entire Torah, like my Shver pointed out, you are required to ask the Mamish Tana. It's not enough to just talk about the Haggadah. You have to ask the question. And the question is, why are questions so important on this night? It's true that for Chinuch, it's very important to ask questions for Chinuch. But we're talking about a situation, you could be all alone, like many people will be this year, and they're big Talmidei Chachamim, and in order for them to fulfill their mitzvah properly, they need to ask the questions. So why do we need to ask the questions, even if we know all the answers? And the idea is, Rabotai, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, He created a whole new Seder to the world. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, He created the Seder of nature. He created the natural world, the natural finite world, which is governed by a certain Seder. It has a certain order, has a certain laws, the laws of nature. Bereishis bara elokim et ha-shamayim v'ha-aretz, the 7 days of creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Seder, an order, a natural order. And that is the order that the Goyim, the non-Jews, live under. Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. If you look at all the 7 Noahide laws, they're there for one purpose. And that is not to ruin the natural order of the world. To maintain the natural order of the world. Don't kill. Set up courts. Maral is marach, and that's why it's 7. They have 7 laws, because 7 is nature. And their job in the world is not to ruin the natural system. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, it wasn't just an emancipation of a bunch of individual slaves. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing was, He was creating a nation. He was creating a new reality, a new Seder to the entire world, which is called the Seder of Klal Yisrael, the order of the Jewish nation. We are not governed by the same natural laws of the world. Because if you look at the inception of the Jewish people, Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him above the stars and said, from that place, and only from that place, you will have a child. You don't have any place in nature. Yitzchak was born as a miracle. Yaakov was born as a miracle. The Jewish nation is not a natural nation. At our roots, Rabotai, at our roots, we are a completely different Bria. Just like the world was created, Yesh Me'ayin, Rabotai. Just like the world was created, Ex Nihilo. The Jewish people also created Yesh Me'ayin. They were created from Kisei HaKavod, from the heavenly throne. We have no place in nature. Yes, we have Mazel, but our deepest place is above Mazel. It's above Tev, it's above nature. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, and He did miracles, and He took us out of the mud of Mitzrayim, and He brought us close to Him, He was showing us that You are My nation, and I love You, and we have a deep, intimate, close bond, and I relate to You in a different way than I relate to the whole entire world. Like Rav Horowitz said so beautifully, there's Hashgacha Pratis that exists specifically and uniquely for us Jews, as Jews, as Klal Yisrael. And when we look at the night of the Seder, we have to recognize, wow, this is the night that we became a nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to make us unique, a unique relationship, a unique kesher, and He treats us completely differently. We have a whole different order. Like the Rambam says, Tzchar V'Onesh. We don't have regular natural laws. And that, Rabotai, I'll end with this. That's the whole idea of asking questions. Why do you have to ask a question? So says Rav Leichter, what is the question? What is the question? You ask a question when 2 things are present, I will say. You ask a question when A, there's something above you that you don't understand, and B, when you're curious to understand it. If you understand it, you won't ask. If you're not curious, you won't ask. You know what the job of Leil HaSeder is? Even the biggest Torah scholar has to sit down and recognize, wow, there's a mitzias over here. There's a reality over here. There's a seder over here that's way above and beyond anything I normally live in day to day. Yes, it looks like we're regular human beings that live in a natural world, but no, a Jew is a whole different bria, a whole different creation that lives in a whole different reality and a whole different seder. And if we don't arouse ourselves to to recognize that there's something way above us that we are a part of. Like a little child looking up at the stars for the first time. We don't recognize we're a part of something so much bigger, so much more beautiful, so much more majestic. We have a neshama from Kitzei HaKavod. If we don't arouse ourselves, we're missing the boat. And that's why even the Talmid HaKham have to ask questions. And that's why it's called Leil HaSeder. It's the night where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a new Seder. Yes, everything is Hashgacha process, but specifically for the Jews, there's a special Seder of love, of Hashgacha, of a beautiful, unique destiny for us Jewish people. And that's a very, very important, crucial part of the night of Leil HaSeder.
Shkayach Rabbi Heller. I just want to also to make this point very practical is to evoke the question. And you need Ein Kiddusha B'li Hachana, and people who are in charge of the Seder or in charge of making the Seder Gishmak, think a little bit of how you can evoke the question among the Chevra that are there and even within yourselves. You don't not to come up with the answer per se. And that's also by the She'eno Yodea Lish'ol, the Gadatol Abincha, At Psachlo. As we say in the Haggadah, you should see in the shared screen, I hope, by the Haggadah, we have the four children, At Psachlo. You open up the Eino Yodea Lishol. That's the mitzvah of the Gadatol Abincha. You could see it on the screen. Open him up. Make sure he knows how to ask the questions. Here's a fascinating point to go now into the Divrei Torah a little bit after that Gummis. Just to raise the very interesting point and to connect also to the matzav. Some of you probably have attended weddings this week or last week without having to leave. And somebody even asked Rabbi Heller whether this Haggadah smorgasbord is going to have food. So the same food that you got at the Zoom weddings and the Zoom brisses, you'll get at this Haggadah smorgasbord, Bez Hashem. So these weddings that we're attending, these really, the original wedding, the first wedding is Seder night. There's a fascinating comment of the Yerushalmi. Many people have the minhag not to eat matzah from a month before, or from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, different minhagim. But the Ikar Hadin, the primary halacha is you may not eat matzah on Erev Pesach. And even Erev Pesach, there's a question the night before the day of. Says the Jerusalem Talmud, what's the reason why you cannot eat matzah on, why can't you eat matzah on Seder night, on the Erev Pesach? Says the Jerusalem Talmud, because kol ha ochel matzah be'Erev Pesach, ki'ilu boel arusoso beveis chamiv. It's as if one is being intimate with their betrothed before the actual marriage, beveis chamiv. In other words, nishma minei, the inference of the Jerusalem Talmud is that Seder night is the night of marriage. Leil hiskadesh chag. Furthermore, what appears in the writings of Maharil, one of the great Gedolei Ashkenaz, is that you need to have the sheva brachos. You need to have the sheva brachos before you could eat the matzah. So chevra, what are the sheva brachos before you eat the matzah? There's a bit of a discussion in the commentaries. What are the sheva brachos? I just want to tell it to you right now. Bracha number one, according to many, is the bracha of borei pri hagafen. The bracha of borei pri hagafen, that's the first one. That counts. That's special to Seder night. The second bracha, the second bracha, of course, is the bracha of mekadesh Yisrael v'azmanim. You should be able to see it on the screens. Mekadesh Yisrael v'azmanim of Kiddush. That's bracha number two. I'm highlighting it. The third bracha is the bracha of shehechianu. That, of course, is the bracha we thank Hashem for the wonderful time that we're in. We then move on, and we're not going to count the karpas for reasons we can't go into now, because that's just a regular bracha on a vegetable. And we then move to the bracha, the special brachas of the Magid, at the end of the Magid. Where are we holding? We did three. At the end of the Magid, we have the bracha of Gal Yisrael. That's the fourth bracha, the bracha of Gal Yisrael. The fifth bracha, the bracha of Borei Pri HaGafen. The bracha that we have at the end, we finished the Magid, and now we are making the bracha of Borei Pri HaGafen. The sixth bracha of Hamotzi, and then the seventh bracha of Al Achilas Matzah. You see the Borei Pri HaGafen right here, and then you see the bracha of Hamotzi and a bracha of Matzah. You could ask me, why don't we count on Achilas Yadayim? We can talk about that. Not for now. That's the Sheva brachas. Tonight is the marriage. a marriage doesn't need fancy, unbelievable, wonderful smorgasbords. Tonight, on Seder night, the marriage is going to be apartment marriages and front yard marriages and garden marriages and garage marriages. But they're so beautiful because the only thing that you really need is the love between the Chassan and Kala, the love between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So on this idea of marriage, in the Agoda Maisa Nisim by the Nesivas, he says over, he asks the following question. On every single mitzvah that we have, that we do, so we always say a mitzvah, we always say a bracha before we do the mitzvah. You're going to eat the matzah on the night of the Seder. You're going to say a bracha on the matzah before you eat it. You take the dal and minim on sukkahs. You're going to say a bracha before you take the dal and minim. If the ikar mitzvah of the night is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Migadim Lebincha, to tell over the story of what took place in Mitzrayim, so then how come there's no bracha before we start on Haggadah itself? So he says over a very beautiful answer. And he says, what's the reason that we're spending so many hours on the night of the Seder? So much detail, so much time going into everything which transpired by Mitzrayim. And the reason is because it's l'shevach u'lahoydais. It is to praise and to give gratitude to Hashem for all of the miracles and all of the wondrous things that He did for the Jewish people then, and as He continues to do them throughout the centuries. And therefore, we are commanded ourselves to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for the miracles, thank you even for the slavery, thank you for the refinement, thank you for Moshe Rabbeinu, thank you for the Makos, thank you for the Nisim, thank you for everything, Hashem. And that's why, as Rabbi Heller was saying, even the Talmid HaChamim, they have to go into details, because only they could appreciate all the details of all the minutiae of Chazal, the way that they explain these fantastic miracles for us. Says the Maisa Nisim, if the purpose of telling over the Haggadah is to praise and to give thanks to Hashem, that means that the bracha itself is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding us to say. Why am I making the bracha? I'm making a bracha because, Hashem, you have commanded me to praise you. Does that sound like it makes any sense? We should make brachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you are the one that is commanding us to praise you. The praise and the haidah and the gratitude that a person has, it has to come from within the person themselves. Nobody is forcing you, nobody is commanding you, nobody is telling you. You must be on your own, ready and willing and excited to praise the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in this print that I have of the Maisa Nisim, the big Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Goldberg, put it together, and he writes over the following. He says, imagine there's a couple that has shalom bias issues. Rabbi Brand, have you ever had somebody like this come to you?
Never. I just send them to you.
Okay. So imagine there's a couple that have shalom bias issues. And it's getting really bad, and they don't know what to do. So the husband, he goes to the Rav, and he tells the Rav, my wife and I married so many years. We keep getting in fights. She makes faces. I make faces. It's really, really a bad situation. What am I supposed to do? So the Rav tells him, listen, I'm sure that one of the things that is missing in your house is compliments. So from now on, everything that your wife does, you should take notice of it, and you should tell her how wonderful it is, what a nice thing she did. You should praise her and you should compliment her for everything that she does in the house and for you. Okay? He goes back with his charge to his house. He walks in, and as he walks into the house, he smells that dinner is cooking. Maybe for the first time ever, as he walks into the house, oh, says, my dear wife, the Rav told me that I should thank you that it smells so good in the house from the food that you're cooking. Okay, says his wife. They sit down to the meal. The food is delicious. He can't get over it. And he says to his wife, honey, the Rav told me that I should tell you that this food is delicious. Says Rav Goldberg over here, you could understand that that's not going to solve the problems of shalom bias. The only way that the husband is going to prove to his wife that he really cares about her, and that he really loves her, and that he really appreciates what she does, is if on his own he gives her the gratitude and the praise that she deserves. Says the Ma'aseh Nisim on the night of the Seder. So when we are coming to say the Haggadah, it's our voice saying the Haggadah to extol our praises to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can't be commanded to say a bracha on that because it's got to come from within. Rabbi Heller.
Mm. Beautiful. Yeah, Shukai, it's beautiful stuff, Rabbi Itzai. So I just wanted to follow on what my holy father-in-law was saying and what Rabbi Horowitz was saying, this idea of that the Jewish nation is the going into marriage and the idea of gratitude. They're all very much connected. The truth is that, right, like the Gemara says, that Pesach is the time of the Eretzin, the engagement period, right? And we have an engagement period until Shavuot. Shavuot is the Nisui, is the Chuppah and the Nisuin. Chuppah and the Nisuin. And there's a lot of Torah about why it is that Pesach is the Eretzin, the engagement, and that Shavuot is the Nisuin. There's a lot to discuss about that. But what does it mean that we are the Kala of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We are the Kala, we are the bride of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting, if you look in Mitzrayim, it was the women who didn't lose faith. It were the Nashim Tzidkaniites who, in the deep dark of the night, did not lose hope. They kept their faith. And they were the ones who kept their husbands strong. And we know that La'atzilava, in the future, Be'ezr Hashem, and Mashiach is coming very soon, it's going to be in the merit of all of these Nashim Tzidkaniites as well. So we know there's something unique about the dynamic between a husband and a wife. The Gemara says that an isha kshera is oisa retzayin baila. An isha kshera does the will of her husband. Now, you're going to ask me, so why is it that most wives don't do the will of their husbands? So the answer is that we're not good husbands. What's a husband? A husband is someone who's strong, who's reliable, who's dependable, who provides, who loves. And there's a teva, there's a nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the teva of an isha, that she leans, without needing to understand necessarily all the details and nitpicks, she can lean on her husband. Isha k'shera oitzer etzayin baila. She can lean and depend on a strong man. That's the proper dynamic between a husband and a wife. The man provides, the man is loyal, the man is loving, and the woman can depend. Isha k'shera oitzer etzayin baila. And the truth is that in the deep dark of the night, when things don't make sense, who are the ones that can rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu when things don't make sense? That's much easier for the ladies to do that, for the Nashim Tzidkaniyot, that they have that in their very fibers of their being. She'asani kirtzoni, they are made already in line with the Ratzon Hashem. That's why they don't need the seichel, the mind, as much as the men. The men are further away naturally. And therefore we need the mind to get us closer. We need the mitzvahs, we need the Torah. And when we go through darkness and the mind shuts off, so we have a harder time than the women. But Klal Yisrael as a whole is supposed to be that Kala, that bright, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there's one thing, Rabotai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want from us, if there's one thing Hashem does not want from us, it is to ask questions. Which type of questions? The questions of, I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense. Why? The nitpick. Men don't like that. I'm providing, I'm good. Okay, so we're not like that. We have to work on being a real man. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our chassan, he says, go after me. What's wrong? You can't trust me. You can't depend on me. You don't think that I have your best interests in mind? In fact, that's the whole reason we went into the Golos in the first place, according to one pshat in the Gemara, because Avram Avinu asked, Bama Eda, how will I know? Hashem says, oh, you're asking me, how will I know? Yedayat Eda. Don't you need to know how it's going to work out? I'll tell you how it's going to work out. It's going to work out with Abdus. It's going to work out with slavery. And ultimately, Hashem was looking for a different two words, which was the words of Nasav and Ishma, which is the words of ultimate giving ourselves up to the Ratzon of Hashem, the will of Hashem, beyond that which our mind can comprehend. We'll do it before we can understand. We'll do it before we can understand. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, my dear Klal Yisrael, I want you to be my bride. I want you to be my bride. You are my bride. No other nation has that beautiful title. But there's a condition. You need to be able to recognize that you can't understand my ways. Don't question my ways. Rely on me. Depend on me. Understand that I love you, that I care about you, that I'm going to provide for you. Am I not dependable? Am I not reliable? And it's for us to just look at Hashem and recognize that He is our provider. He loves us. To give ourselves over to Him. To have gratitude for all that He does for us, which is what that is all about. And that is one of the biggest avodas, Rabotai, of Leil HaSeder, is to let go of our need to control. Let go of our need to try to understand. Especially in modern times. You know, we can't understand what's going on. Hashem and leave pride.
Beautiful. Rabbi Heller, can you clarify? So questions yes or questions not? I'm not understanding. We can ask questions or not?
Oh, gewaldig. So there's a chiluk between different types of questions. If you're asking a question on Hashem, on His ways, on his mahalach, so yeah, those questions we don't ask. But the questions that we're supposed to be asking are really questions of wonder. It's really more exclamations of wonder, like, wow, look at that. That is something so beyond, I can't really understand it. It's really questions of the opposite. It's questions of, like, a child looking up at the sky. Wow, that is so beautiful. That's so beyond. We're not asking questions of things that happened bad to us that we're trying to make sense of. We're asking questions on realities that seem to be beyond the human mind, the human grasp. That really get us into a mode of recognizing what we really have. So it's really more of an exclamation of wonder about something that's far beyond than a complaint about the ways of Hashem.
Thank you for that clarification. I don't know if we're arguing or not. I want to just make the following, it wouldn't be the first time certainly, but I want to just clarify, we should not do it in public, but I want to just clarify bring it on. I would love it. Let's try to do this privately, though. But Maisa, we this is the night of questions, and Rabbi Heller said a very important distinction. I don't know if we're going to say the same thing, but there's a very famous piece of Torah. Please take a look at the screen. You'll see the Maggid, the four children, and the Rasha is the one that we knock him right. Ma'avoda zos lachem. He asks the question, and he takes him, and we say to him, lachem velo lo. You know, you exclude yourself, and because you exclude yourself, you're denying the primary, and we chatter his teeth, however they translate it, shake his arrogance, whatever, many different explanations. And it's a Veltz Kasha, famous question, why is he different than the Chacham? The Chacham also says, Eschem. Eschem is also, it seems to be an exclusionary clause. This is a very famous question, there are a number of answers. The answer that I enjoy the most appears in Rishonim, is that the Rasha, if you look in the text in the Haggadah, these are all these four are based on Psukim in the Haggadah. If you look in the text in the Haggadah, Chevre, you'll take a look, it's very, very powerful. You look in the text in the Haggadah, you will see something interesting. You will see that by all the others, by the Chacham, it says, Vaya ki yish alcha. And by the Tam, it's also, ki yish alcha bincha. By the Rosh, it says, Vayav ki yomru aleichem b'neichem. Yomru isn't a question. Yomru is a statement. There are some times that people are asking questions, but they're not interested in answers. They're asking questions as statements. They are, in a certain sense, they're using the term tshuva, right? But the word tshuva in Hebrew can mean an answer. It could also be a question which has no response. And the Rasha is the one who is saying, let me tell you why I don't do this. Let me tell you. I have all these questions on the Ribono Sholem. When the question doesn't come with a question mark at the end, when there isn't a humility in the question, then he needs to be shaken up. But when a person really wants to know, and they walk in with a priori faith, And as Rav Soloveitchik likes to say, would often say, that a Yid has to surrender his mind to the Ribbono Shel Olam. At the end of the day, we won't understand everything. And as Rabbi Horowitz said, there's no way we're going to understand the amkus of what's going on now in the deepest way. But once we understand that it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then all questions are embraced, as long as they are with the question mark and a desire to get closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I think that's a very important hashkafa to transmit dafka on Seder night.
Shkayach. Hi, Brander. This is David Isser.
I'm going to hold questions for later, or comments even, because we just, at 9:30, all comments are, we're going to stay on. All comments, yeah? Okay.
Okay, so maybe as we got onto the topic of the Dalit Bonim of the four sons over here, and we spoke a little bit about the Rasha, the wicked son. It's always very puzzling to me in the Haggadah over here. Here you have, the Rasha showed up at the table. It means that whatever he's involved with before the Seder starts, he's gambling, he's looting, he's on drugs, he's running around in the streets of LA, whatever he's doing. But comes the Seder night, the Rasha walks into the house and he sits down at the table. Which means, as our great Bali Kirov tell us, there must be some pintle yid, there must be some spark of a Jew that's in him. He didn't just come to rant and to rave. Something must have brought him down to that Seder table. And so he asks his very rebellious questions, as Rabbi Brander said. He doesn't even ask, he's just telling it. He's telling everybody why I don't believe in Hashem, why I don't want to do his mitzvahs, why I don't want any of this. And the Haggadah tells us, so what should you do to the Rasha? So then you do Hakei Ashinov. So you blunt his teeth. Smack the guy in the mouth and say, hey, we don't talk like that at our Seder table. You want to know what it means to be a Jew? So sit down at the table and we'll teach you what it means to be a Jew. But that's not the way that we talk. We're not so erroneous in our approach to the way that we're going to look at our HaKadosh Baruch Hu and mitzvahs and Torah and everything like that. Now, anybody who is involved in the world of Chinuch HaBanim, anybody who is a machanech, anyone who is a rebbe or a rav, anyone who's involved in kiruv, everybody knows that if somebody comes with all of their rhetoric and they come with all their yetzaharas in place, smashing them in the mouth is certainly not going to do the trick to be makarev them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If your kid is having a rough day and they're acting out, everybody knows that if you give them a patch and you squeeze them, it's not going to make them into a better kid. Everybody knows that. Every Rebbe knows in the classroom, if you have a child who's simply not paying attention, making fun of him and pointing out his failure and embarrassing in front of the class, every Rebbe knows that's not going to get this kid to love you. So how does the Rasha show up at the table? And the Haggadah says, Hakei Ashinov, you should punch out his teeth, blunt his teeth, and make sure that he gets the message. So I saw in Rav Hirsch, Rav Hirsch has a whole dictionary of how he goes through all the grammar of Lashon HaKodesh. And he always has that many words resemble other words, and the meaning that's in one can be the meaning in another. And he says the word Hake comes really from the word of Nekia, which means to cleanse the mouth of this Rasha. You're not Chalila smacking him in the face. You're not going to make an angry face at him. How dare you say that at my Seder Chas Chalila? The goal of the Magid, the goal of the one that is telling over the Seder and trying to embrace the children is that he wants to cleanse the mouth of the Rasha, cleanse him from his preconceived notion, cleanse him of his prejudice, of his anger, of his pain, whatever it is that is motivating him to talk in such a way. And then we tell him, we say, Ba'avur Zeh, because of this, because of mitzvahs, because of Torah, because that we can get close to Hashem. We're not like an animal on the street. We're not like anybody else that's out there in the world. We have the ability ourselves, bas of Adam, to get close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the greatest simcha in our lives. Because of that, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Now you, Nebuch, if you would have come with this approach in Mitzrayim, you would have died probably in the plague of darkness. You would not have made it out alive. But our job is to shower with Ahava, with warmth, and to embrace, not Chalila, to push off. And perhaps that's really what the Sefer HaChinuch writes. The Sefer HaChinuch says, why is there such a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? chayiv lahoitzi advarim bepiv. A person is obligated to say the words from his mouth, kidei sheyis oirer libay bedavar, to awaken and to arouse his heart to the ideas and to the messages that you are saying. Ki bedibor, because with speech, yis oirer halev, the heart is going to come alive. It's going to begin to feel again. If there's a rush sitting at your table, that means his heart is closed off. How's it going to open up? Can't be harsh. But you got to get him to speak also. But you have to cleanse his mouth so that he speaks about the right things. Let him ask the question honestly, and then his heart will begin to come and follow after the words of his mouth. So this is an idea based on what you're saying over here, that if we just understand what a person is asking or what a person is saying, then you can deal with them in the right way. And instead of pushing them away, Chalila, you can actually bring them close on the night of the Seder.
I'm going to ask for a quick moment. I wanted a little participation. I know I'm never a heller in a moment, but this beautiful Machshava, Rabbi Horowitz, is one of my favorite gematrias. So the gematria of Russia, what's the gematria of Russia, Chevra? Feel free to say Russia is a gematria of? 570. What's the gematria of Shinov? Okay, that's a little bit harder. It's 366. 570 minus 366, that's not so hard, is 204. 204 is tzaddik. When you are make the shinov of the Russia, you bring out the tzaddik.
Beautiful.
Rabbi Heller.
Okay. Yashar Koach. Beautiful stuff. So let's try to see if we could understand the Russia in a slightly different way, according to the Pashup Shot, like it says in the end. Ilu haya sham, lai haya nigal. He would not have been redeemed, which seems pretty harsh. Pashup Shot. We know a lot of Jews didn't go out in Mitzrayim. And like Rabbi Horowitz was asking, how could we say that this is how you treat a person? You know, this is not the way you treat people these days. Not going to work. It's not the right thing to do. It's not the effective thing to do. But it seems that God is pretty strong. Okay? So there are definitely beautiful pshatim to learn the Russia, as we heard. But Lechora, I think there's a different, perhaps a different idea, which is very simple. That we kim'at don't have any Rishayim nowadays. The Russia back then was someone who knew Torah. He had a real Mesorah. He grew up and he saw people who were angels. And he was in a safe environment. And he was a lahachis. He went out on his own two feet and he decided to spit in everything that he was taught. He was given the most beautiful gift and he smashed it on the face. Someone who doesn't have das, we don't have rachmanis on him. So there is something called a Russia. And the Russia, yeah, the Russia, we tell them to go away. There are certain times we have to tell people to go away. We told Yishmael to go away. Shem said, listen to Sarah. But in our door, Rabbi Isai, is kemat no rishayim. Most people, you know, one of the biggest devastating impacts of the Holocaust, besides for the fact that we lost 6 million bodies, was the beautiful Mesorah of hundreds and hundreds of years. We are very orphaned in many ways in our Mesorah, and we are now opened up to all sorts of influences. And so the Russia kemat doesn't exist. And we therefore are mekariv everyone and anyone. And maybe if there's one Russia or two Rishayim or three Rishayim or 100 Rishayim, maybe those, if you can find me one of them, then we could talk about how maybe we should deal with them. But it's almost an impossibility in this day and age. Tinaik Shinishba. That's the first point I wanted to make. I wanted to go to the Chacham. Very, very interesting about the Chacham. So Rabbi Brander mentioned that the Chacham also says Eschem, to you. So what's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha? So I want to point your attention to the word before Eschem. What's the word before Eschem? The word before Eschem is Elekeinu, our God. So it's interesting. The Chacham says Elekeinu, our God, Eschem to you. So what is he saying? What is he saying? Is it our God or is it to you? He's not dumb. He's smart. He's wise. The answer is that the Chacham is wise. And what he's saying is very deep. What he's saying is yes, I understand that this Hashem is my Hashem. He's mine. But I also understand that the world wasn't born today. That there is a Mesorah that extends far beyond me, far before me. And I need to be humble and go to you, my father, my Rebbe, who is the source of this Mesorah, and humbly receive. So we all have to play that dichotomy, that balance of it's mine, but it's yours. It's mine, but it's my Rebbe's. There are people who just take from their Rebbe. There are people who just try to learn Torah from themselves. The Chacham does both. It's mine, but there's something before me that I'm humble, that I'm gracious about. And I want to say one last thing before I go, and that is the Chacham, to me, is one of the biggest shilohs in the entire Haggadah. Now we know, I'll be brief, we know that the whole purpose of the Haggadah, this is not something you need a proof for, the whole purpose of the Haggadah is nothing to do with intellectual stimulation and chakiras and lomdis. It's not the time to start getting into all sorts of intellectual debates about the laws. It's not about the laws, about the intellect. The whole purpose of the Haggadah is to transmit the story, to arouse our hearts. To celebrate the story. And the purpose is to arouse ourselves to a love, to a gratitude, to shir hashirim. So why are we telling the Chacham, Rabotai? Why are we telling the Chacham the laws of Afikoman? It seems to be not the point. And Rabotai, the answer is like this. You know what the big problem, what we think is the big problem with schools these days, is they give the kids all the information, and then they come home, and we don't need to tell them. So is that good or is that bad? Is that good or bad, what the schools are doing? So here's the answer, Rabotai, very quickly. If you look in the psukim, like my shver was saying, if you look in the psukim that discuss the wise, the Chacham Rabotai is not asking on Pesach night. And he's not only asking about Pesach. The Chacham asks whatever his intellect compels him to ask. And he asks about everything. And what you know what the Baal HaGadol is telling us? When the Chacham asks you questions, you answer him right then and there. You answer him, you give him everything up until all the minute details. If you wait to tell the Chacham the laws, or you ignore him until the night of Pesach, you've missed out on the boat. The Chacham needs to be prepared before he asks you deep questions. You give him answers right away. You give him everything he wants until the last detail. And he needs to come to the Seder prepared because he's asking. He wants to know. And you have to give it to him as the father. You don't tell him, oh, let's wait until Leila Seder. You give it to him right then. You sit down and you learn with him so that he comes to the Seder prepared with you and you can together go deeper and deeper. And that is, I think, the pshat in the Chacham. Take a look at the psukim. And I'm sure that I'll get some pushback on that one, but I think that's the pshat in the Chacham.
Shkoyach gadol. I'm going to move a little bit beyond. We finished the Dal Banim. People could feel free to go more there, but I just want to go. We then move into Avodim Ayinu Leparo B'Mitzrayim, VaYotzienu Hashem Elokeinu Misham B'Yad Chazaka V'Zroa Netuya. We were slaves, and Hashem took us out. And there's a famous machlokis in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel says that we look at the physical, avadim ayinu. We start low, mascha bignus, and this is the physical. And then later on, we're going to say, mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. This is going a little bit further in the Haggadah. And we were originally idolaters. Va'achshav kervanu ha'makam lavodaso. And Hashem brought us to His service. This dichotomy in the Haggadah is actually reflective of Rav and Shmuel. The opinion of Rav is that originally we were idolaters is the proper way to start with gnus, the derogatory, because Rav, as Rav Soloveitchik explains, is looking at the spiritual, the ruchnius, because we don't just look at the beginning as if to say, avadim hayinu, that's true. When did the clock of Mitzrayim begin? did the clock of Mitzrayim begin when we were enslaved? Well, on some, in some level, yeah, 210 years began then when we were in Mitzrayim, or 86 years. But then if you go back to Avraham Avinu, the 430 years, Avraham Avinu was 70 years old, even before the Bris Bein HaBesharim. So there are two components that we're trying to speak to in the Mitzrayim experience and Yetzias Mitzrayim. And if you look at the language of the Rambam, we can't do that right now, but if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, the Rambam tells us, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam tells us something striking, and that is that Avraham Avinu was an Oved Avodah Zarah with the rest of the people. Avraham Avinu mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Yevosenu, this is the sheet of the Rambam, until 40 years old, Avraham Avinu was Mushka Imaim. And the Rambam tells us that Avraham Avinu searched very deeply and he eventually came to Emuna. And so the Inyan of Seder night, on some level, we started off the Shir by pointing out that we're going back to the first Pesach, is not simply the Avadim Hayinu, but it's also to be able to feel once again a Hischatshus in our Ruchnius, to rediscover the Ribono Shel Olam. I want to ask a very maybe cynical question, maybe interesting question, but certainly provocative question. If we were to ask our children, we were to ask teenagers who we call Orthodox, you can press a button. Maybe you shouldn't ask them this question. Press a button. You could be born again. And you can choose to be a Yid or Chas V'Shalom to choose to not be a Yid. How many of our children would not choose to be a Yid? In other words, one of the most important inyanim of Pesach night is we have to choose, or we have to inspire the choice of what it means to be a Yid once again. But Avraham Avinu was the Bocher. There's no one in the whole Tanakh who Hashem calls Ohavi, the one who loves me, except for Avraham Avinu. Echad Haya Avram. We're coming to this first night of Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Va'achshav Kervano Mokam Lavodoso, but Avraham Avinu had to take the first step. We need to provoke the Avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this night. We need to make our children dance over what it means. Baruch HaMokam Baruch Hu, and that could be why, before we get into the special Seder night, we have a Birchas HaTorah. The Birchas HaTorah of Seder night is Baruch HaMokam Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenosan Torah Lamay. What are we doing with this? What's this Indian here, Chevra? The answer is we're making a special bracha. Asher bachar bonim mikol ha'amim. Asher bachar bonim mikol ha'amim. If our children are not going to say that at the end of Seder night, Baruch Shenosan Torah Lamay Yisrael, then on some level we have fallen short of the task. And if our children aren't there, at least we have to say that ourselves. I choose once again to be a Yid.
Perhaps this gets us into the question of the lashon that Chazal used when they describe the Yom Tov of Pesach. We find in the Kiddush, we find in the Davening, Shmon Esrei, we always refer to the Yom Tov of Pesach as the Zman Cheruseinu. It's the time of our freedom. And the obvious question is, it's not really the time of our freedom. This is a cheirus, this is a freedom that goes back 3,500 years ago when Klal Yisrael were avodim, they were slaves in Mitzrayim, and Hashem took them out and he brought them into the Geula, into the redemption, they went free. So how are we saying 3,500 years later that this is the Zman Cheiruseinu, the time of our freedom? It's a time of freedom, but it's not our freedom. So the Michta Melilla Rav Dessler brings down beautifully from the Ramchal and the Maral over there, I think, that if you look at the calendars of the Goyesha world and you look at the calendars of the Jewish world, you'll find a striking difference. In the non-Jewish world, the calendar is really just going along year after year. And every time that there's a holiday, there's a festival, there's some meaningful time that there is, it's always coming just to commemorate that which took place originally in history. So we have 4th of July. So 1776, July 4th, there was Declaration of Independence, as they say here in America. And so we celebrate fireworks, barbecues, pool parties, whatever goes on, no school. There's something called Xmas, so they commemorate whatever they think that they're commemorating, that's what they're commemorating. But Klal Yisrael's calendar is a whole different world. The calendar of Klal Yisrael is something that is connected to the Bria Sa'olim, to the creation of the world itself. Which means that when we come to a Yom Tov, when we come to a festival, we are not merely commemorating the festival which took place, but rather we are tamping into the Kayach and the Kedusha and the holiness that was in that original moment of the Yom Tov when it first came to this world. And even that Yom Tov itself goes way back to creation time. As was mentioned, the first Seder, Avram Avinu. Was there an exodus from Egypt in the times of Avram Avinu? Lot was eating matzah. Why? Because, says Rashi, it was Pesach Hayah. Was there a Pesach yet? Was there Shibud and Mitzrayim? Was there an exodus? Nothing existed. But Hashem was Kaveh. He put into the Bria such a power that this is the Zman HaGeula, this is the time of the redemption of the Jewish people. Which means, not only is it the Zman of Cheirus for Klal Yisrael 3,500 years ago, but Be'etzim in reality, a person that will be sensitive to what is going on in the world during this time, when they come to the Leil HaSeder, and all the days of Yom Tov, and all of the days of Chol HaMoed, and all the days of the last days of Yom Tov, and even the Chodesh HaGeula, as Rosh Chodesh Nisan began already, that means the Geula, the spiritual redemption, that was part of the redemption of Klal Yisrael, because they were Meshubed spiritually as well, they were underneath the rule and the Shlita of the Mitzrim. As the Rambam writes, they were completely assimilated. They forgot about the Ribbono Shel Olam. They went back to Avodah Zarah. They were not living like Jews. So the redemption of Klal Yisrael was a Geulas HaNefesh. It was a spiritual redemption. On that, each and every one of us, wherever we find ourselves in our own personal lives, with our families, with our communities, with Klal Yisrael, everybody could be Zeichen to a Geulas HaNefesh, to a spiritual redemption during the time of Pesach. And that's the Zman Cheirus Seinu. It's our time of redemption. Which means that each and every one of us, I heard a Maisa once, you probably remember several years ago, there was a terrible tragedy. The Sassoon family in New York, one Friday night, Rachmana Litzlan, a fire broke out in their home, and it consumed the house. 7 of the 8 children were burned and died in the fire, and the mother and one of the daughters jumped out of the window and saved their lives, and the father, Gavriel, was elsewhere for that Shabbos, only to be alarmed on Shabbos to come home because he had to find out that most of his family had burned and been engulfed in the flames. A good friend of mine, who was a friend of Gavriel Sassoon's, he went to the Shiva house. And when he got to the Shiva house, he told me there were 2 things that were astounding to him. Number one, Gavriel Sassoon was a pillar of Emunah. When people were asking him, I don't know why they would ask him how he's doing, but when they asked him how he was doing, he told them, Baruch Hashem, Hakol Bidei Shemayim, I have no tainot, I have no complaints on the Ribbono Shel Olam. But then there was a guy who was sitting in the Shiva house. And as everybody knows, at a Shiva house, Rachman Litzlan, it's always uncomfortable. Nobody knows what to say. So what are you going to say to a father who is mourning the loss of his 7 children, Lo Aleinu, and his wife and his daughter are sitting in the hospital trying to recover. So the guy's sitting there and he says to him, he says, you know, Gavriel, I'd really like to do something as a schus for your children's neshama. Tell me, what should I do? So Gavriel Sassoon looks at the guy between the eyes and he says, I should tell you what to do? I should tell you what you need to work on? You're the only one who knows yourself better than anybody else. You know what you're weak in. You know what you're lacking. You know what you have to make an improvement in. You decide what you have to work on, and that'll be a schus for my children, the Shema. So as we come to the Cheirus of Pesach, each and every one of us knows that there are places in our life, personal, family, whatever it might be, up here, down here, wherever it might be, everybody has shackles and chains that are enslaving us and that are not letting us go free. Starting already now from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Chodesh HaGeula, through the Siddurim, through the Yom Tov, through the entire month, of Nisan, there's so much gula, there's so much redemption and freedom in the air. If a person will tap in, then we will emphatically say on the Yom Tov, Zman Cheru Seinu, this is our freedom, because I am allowed to go free just as much as HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed and redeemed Klal Yisrael so many thousands of years ago.
Okay, I just want to go back to what my Shver was pointing out about Avadim Hayinu. Avadim Hayinu leparei b'Mitzrayim, and maybe connected a little bit to the inyan of the chayrus that we are experiencing and what needs to happen in order for us to get into that chayrus. So, Avadim Hayinu leparei b'Mitzrayim, we were Avadim to parei b'Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out. Now, the stress over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. And if you look, like my father-in-law was saying about Avram Avinu, it's the same thing. Just like Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayah Avitzenu, in the beginning, our forefathers served idols. The Achshav, and now Kervanu Amakan Lavidasoi. Hashem brought us close to His service. Now the obvious question, Rabotai, as my father-in-law quoted from the Rambam, Avram Avinu was a crusader. Avram Avinu was the one who sweated. He fought against the whole world. He was the crazy one. He was the only one. In a world of idolatry, he himself served idols. Afu Abad Imahim, the Lashon of the Rambam. He served idols, and he was the crazy one who thought and sweated and fought and got a death sentence and ultimately preached successfully to the masses and wrote Svarim. And now the Haggadah is telling us the Achshav Kervanu Amakim Lavidasei. Hashem was the one who brought Avram close, as the Pasuk attests, that it was indeed Hashem, because Avram was standing on the other side of the river, Be'er HaNa'ar, Vo'ekach Es Avichem. I took Avram. How could the Baal HaGadah say that Hashem was the one who brought Avram close? Didn't Avram sweat? Didn't Hashem put Avram through 10 nisyonos, through 10 tests? He didn't make it easy for him. It wasn't a walk in the park. What's the idea over here, Rabotai? And the idea over here is, Very simple, Yisod. Like we know, let's take a step back for a moment. The whole idea of the Haggadah is to be matchil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shvach. To start with the gnus, with that which is low, that the lowness of where we were, the things that were not so pretty, and to end off with the shvach of Hashem. And the idea of here, Rabotai, is that we have to understand something very unique about a Jew. A Jew minus Hashem is in a place of gnus. A Jew minus Hashem is an eved. He's someone who has a bitter life. You know why, Rabotai? Because we don't have a place in nature. We're not natural. So we can't succeed on our own. If you pit a Jew against a non-Jew, he'll crush us. We don't have a place in nature. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to recognize first the gnus. First, the genus of us without Hashem, which was in Mitzrayim. We were connected to Hashem. We were slaves. And even Avram Avinu, Rabotai, even Avram Avinu with all of his sweat, blood, and tears, that only would have happened, like the Medrash says, "Mi yitein tahar mitameh halei echot." Who can put purity from impurity? It's only one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted a purity inside of Avram Avinu. He planted a purity inside of Avram Avinu that Avram Avinu did not merit. It was a purity. Now, Avram Avinu had to use that purity. He had to use that beautiful neshama. He had to actualize his potential. But the potential he got was all Hashem. And the message here is very clear, whether it's on a physical level or a spiritual level. The whole nature of a Jew is, Rabotai. The whole nature of a Jew is we have nothing of our own. Everything we get is from Hashem. Without Hashem, we are lower than the Gentile. With Hashem, we are the masters. We are the leaders. We are the center. And I'll just end with this. That is why the first mitzvah, Rabotai, we got in Mitzrayim was the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. Why? The pshat is, the many pshat, and one idea is because the Jews are like the moon. The moon has none of its own light. It gets all of its light from the sun. So too, the Jew is like the moon. We reflect Hashem's light. That's all we are. That was true for Abraham. He got his light from Hashem, that purity, and he ran with it. And that was true for the Jews. We were slaves until Hashem came and redeemed us and shined his light on us and gave us the power to have cheres, to have freedom.
Shkayach. We finished the Mitchila Obdi Avodah Zarah, and now we lift up the cup and we talk about the anti-Semites in every generation. V'hisha amdal avoseinu. Not only in the time of Paro, b'chol dor v'dor, in every generation, omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. And then we move on to Lavan. Seyu leman ma bikesh Lavan harami lasos liyakov avinu. And this is usually the part where the Seder goes into fast forward. We hurdle through. These are the psukim that are really, the chasm. We don't really know what's going on here. But this is a very important piece. Seyu lemad. Come and learn. We note the strange language of going out and learning. And what is Lavan? What's the connection between this phrase of Lavan Arami that Lavan wanted, to be gozer on all of us? He wanted to destroy. Why are we going from Paro back to Lavan? What's the idea? And this is not a fancy piece of Torah. This is in the Rishonim already. What I'm going to tell you now is straight in the Rishonim, the Abarbanel and the Vilna Gaon, is not a Rishon. The Abarbanel says, when you look at Mitzrayim and you go back to the story of Lavan, which preceded Mitzrayim, Yaakov had Esav, Yaakov had Lavan, right? Yaakov had the Mitzrayim experience. You'll know that the very essence of anti-Semitism, the very essence of Esav Sonei LeYaakov, even preceded Mitzrayim. And that the Chol Dor V'Dor doesn't only mean afterwards, it even means before. But what's interesting is, Sei Ulamad means go out and then learn forward. Go out. Because we're being told something here which is very enigmatic. Arami, we're being told that Paro was less than Lavan. Lavan wanted to be Lakor Esakol. He wanted to destroy everything, not just the males. And we're bringing a proof from the phrase of Arami Ovid Avi, which is from the Sefer Devarim Parshas Kisavo, the section of the Bikurim, we bring the first fruits. And we're not going to go into exactly why we bring that recitation right now. But the phrase Oved implies a total destruction. The phrase Oved implies a total destruction. And we're being told that Lavan wanted to destroy Klai Yisrael totally. And the Mefarshim ask, where do you see this with Lavan? And one of the simple answers that the Abarbanel gives is that when Lavan is going to see his children for the final time, he says, Yesh la'el yodi, I have the power to destroy you. V'asosi machim ro'o tov. I could have done it. I have the power. And just that one line gives us a window into his world. And because of this, the Vilna Gaon extrapolates. And he says, so the Abarbanel says, where do you see Lavan wanting to do this? Because he tells us, I could have destroyed you. He's sharing with you. Sometimes you learn a lot from a person's stream of consciousness. In halacha, it's called Mesiach Lefi Tumo, that we believe people when they're just schmoozing much more than when they're giving formal testimony. On some level, that's more powerful. And says the Vilna Gaon something fantastic. He says, we don't understand and recognize all the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for us behind the scenes. The hidden love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Seyu lemad, go out and learn from Lavan, and then do what? And then figure out what's Iran trying to do, and what are the Arabs trying to do, and try to figure out all our Sonei Yisrael. Says Rav Leibola Eger that the Bilam story, Parshas Balak, 95 psukim, you'll find Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear. And he says because Moshe didn't even know that Bilam wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. It was all happening behind closed doors. Leman Das Tzidkos, in order to know that the Haftorah that we say in Micha, to know that tzedakah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest tzedakah is the matan deseser, says the Bris Rav, Hallelujah, Hashem kol goyim, shabachu kol ha'umim. The nations of the world will praise God, ki gavra aleinu chazdo, because they can testify better than we can what they wanted to do for us. Seyu lamad, go and contemplate what could have been. You go to the Nixon Museum, and you listen to what, you know, the conversation with Kissinger and Nixon, what was going on, and how close we were to the terrible sakana of Chas v'Shalom destruction of Israel. And now we can appreciate Shabbachu kol ha'umim, and this is happening day in and day out, year in and year out, that you have to be tseyu lamad. It's the lovens of the world. And says the Vilna Gaon, this is the pattern of history. We don't see it, but we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly protecting us. And when we see that window, then we need to give Shevach and Oda. And I want to end with a story with Dr. Tuvia Meister. Dr. Tuvia Meister wrote the Meister Plan. He was a big tzaddik, and he wrote a whole book. He was a tremendous person, a doctor, and he was great in learning also. And one of the points that he made is, and he died recently of cancer, and he understood what cancer was, and he understood. He said, I thank Hashem for all the times the cancer cells were killed. I thank Hashem for the millions and millions of cancer cells that did not get through. I understand the complexity of the human body. Do we now understand the chiddush of rofei chol basar umafli lasos? Now when we're in this terrible pandemic, now we can appreciate how Hashem protects us. I'll never look at washing my hands the same anymore. I will never look at the simple protections of life in the same way. Say ulamad, not only the nations of the world, but how we're constantly being cloaked in the beautiful protective blanket of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's hard to follow that one, Rabbi Brander. But I'll just leave with, because it looks like we're coming to the end, I'll leave with one last thought, which seems to be a very big steerer to what is going on in the world right now. On these lines of Lavan, and he was getting lost, and he came down to Mitzrayim in the end, the Bali Musa point out that it says in the Pasuk over here, Bimse Ma'at, they came down with a few, Shenema, like it says, B'shivim Nefesh, Yodu Avaisecha Mitzrayim. With 70 souls, they came down to Mitzrayim. The Bali Musa point out that the grammar over here is not correct. If you want to say the language in Lashon HaKodesh of Shivim souls, you say Nefashos. You say many souls, 70 souls. And yet it says over here, Shivim Nefesh, there were only 70 Nefesh, one soul. And the Yisaidis that they bring out is that the Koyach of Klal Yisrael and the power of Klal Yisrael, why we're able to survive Mitzrayim, all of those hundreds of years of slavery and this total disaster for the Jewish people, was because when we came down to Mitzrayim to begin with, it was b'shivim nefesh, it was as one single entity, one soul that was connected together as one. As we say by our Sinai, ki ish echad v'lev echad, we were one person, we were one heart. Kol yisrael ha'ravim zeh lazeh, each one is a guarantor for the other. The might of the Jewish people is that we are together as one, that we are united, that we help each other out, that we're always there for one another. We're living in a historical time right now where Klal Yisrael has never been farther apart from each other than it feels at this moment. We don't see our friends. We don't even see our family. For myself personally, this year is the first time in 20 years that I'm not going to be zeicha to sit with my parents and my in-laws by the Seder, because we cannot be together. So the Ribbono Shel'olam has taken away all of the achdus, seemingly, of Klal Yisrael. But since that we are ki'ish echad v'lev echad, we are really one person and one lev and one heart, that means that the distance, that social distancing has put between us, that's only physical. But the essence of the nefesh, of the neshama of Klal Yisrael, that remains the same. And as much as when we're together and we're doing and we're there, we're able to feel the achdus and the unity, there's no reason why a Jew that's sitting in his home and not able to go next door and borrow the salt, or there's no reason why a Yid who can't go to the office and put a smile on somebody's face, why they should feel less of an identity where they are mischaber, where they're connected to Klal Yisrael. And chesed is able to be done in your home, and chesed can be done on the telephone. A Zoom share is a chesed unbelievable chesed that so many people are able to learn Torah throughout this time. And that's how Klal Yisrael, with our minds and our hearts and our words and our phone calls and our actions, whatever we can do, that retains the unity and the achdus of Klal Yisrael. Many, many years ago, and I'll end off with this story, many years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael, I was a bacher learning in yeshiva, and it was a Motzei Shabbos, and there was a Yid from LA who was there named Bart Stern. Now, Brandy, you probably know who he was. And Bart Stern was a survivor of the Holocaust, and he had never, ever made a Sudas Haidah. He never made a meal to praise and thank Hashem that he was released from the camps. And he was in Yerushalayim for that Shabbos, and he was talking with a prominent Rav, and they were talking about his experiences, and he told him, says, you know, this Matzah Shabbos is the anniversary of when I was redeemed from the concentration camps. So the Rav said to him, did you ever make a Sudas Haidah? So he said, what is that? He said, a meal to thank and to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he redeemed you, that he saved you, that he brought you out in a miraculous way, and he saved your life. He said, no, I never did. So that night in Har Nof in Yerushalayim, with maybe about 40, 50 bachim around, and some other families that came to be there, he told over stories about the miracles that took place for him. Maybe it was in Auschwitz. And he said, how do we survive? How can you survive in Gehenna? So he said a fascinating thing. He said, you know how we survived all of those years in Gehenna of Auschwitz? We survived because we always try to do as much chesed for another Jew as we possibly could. We saw another Yid who was starving to death. You know what we would do? Each of us would pick a little crumb, a little piece of our bread away, and we'd give it him so he could live for another day. Somebody was down, we'd go over and we would schmooze with him, we would talk with him, we'd lift up his spirits. Someone couldn't get out there into the workforce that day. We'd do double work to make sure that he would be able to survive. The only way we survived Gehenna is because we transcended all of that and we became Balei Chesed with one another. The only way that Klal Yisrael survives any ordeal, any suffering, any struggle, any challenging time, is if we remain united together as one. It's not as easy when there's social distancing, but there are so many ways that we can show that we care to be connected to our fellow Yidden. And Be'ez Hashem, if we do that, just as Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and he took us out of the Gehenna of Auschwitz, and he took us out of all the other ordeals that we've been in, he'll bring us also out of this Golis, and he'll bring us to the ultimate Ge'ula, B'mheira V'yameinu.
Shkayach, shkayach, beautiful. Rabbi Heller.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say one last final thought for the Olam. In the Haggadah by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was looking for a source, Rabbi Elazar. He was looking for a makar to say Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. And he was saying, I couldn't find a source. I was looking for a source until he finally stumbled on a pasuk, which he was able to learn from there, a source that you could say Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. The question is, why was he looking for a source so deeply to say Yetzias Mitzrayim at night? Usually you don't come to Torah with an agenda. Usually you sit and you learn, you darshan. What was the agenda? Obviously it's clear that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah knew in his heart with his Das Torah that it had to be that Yetzias Mitzrayim is said at night. It had to be. That's Torah. He was just looking for a source to prove his point. He needed that source. What's so important about speaking about Yetzias Mitzrayim at night? So we know Klal Yisrael has gone through many nights. Klal Yisrael has gone through many times of pain and suffering and torture. People are dying. The Jewish community right now is being hit the worst. Just got news of very tragic death in Lakewood. The head of the NPGS, Rabbi Rothschild, tremendous Baal Chesed. We are being hit and we're experiencing a tremendous night at the Emes. There's tremendous Hester upon him right now. And Klal Yisrael, in times of night, in times of suffering, in times that we don't understand why is Hashem doing this? Why is Hashem taking from us some of our best, some of our brightest, some of our most generous. Why is Hashem doing this? So we turn to Yetzias Mitzrayim. We turn to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Yetzias Mitzrayim, as always and always, will give us hope in the night. What is the hope? What is the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim? How does Yetzias Mitzrayim give us the hope? How does Yetzias Mitzrayim give us the proper framework for how to deal with the nighttime, Rabotai? And the answer is very simple. The name Pesach, the whole idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim, everyone says Pesach means because Hashem passed over. But there's another meaning for the name Pesach, Rabotai. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says, you know what Pesach means? V'chomal, that Hashem had compassion. There was a Jew and a non-Jew that were equally serving idols and equally deserving of being killed. But Hashem revealed that he has a special love and he has a special compassion that exists for the Jew that does not exist for the non-Jew. They're both serving idols. And that's the essence of the Antif. Pesach. Hashem passed over us out of a compassion, out of a unique love that he has for the Jew that does not exist for the non-Jew. There's even a thought in the Gemara that every single convert, when he comes to convert, should bring a carbon Pesach, because the Pesach is for the Jews. No guy, no non-Jew, no one who's uncircumcised can touch the carbon Pesach, because the carbon Pesach signifies the unique love, the unique relationship, the unique chemla, the unique compassion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the Jew. And even when we are undeserving, like Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, it's all Hashem's love, it's all Hashem's compassion. Pesach, v'chomal, Hashem had compassion. That is the essence of what we are celebrating, the unique love that Hashem has for us. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, throughout the night, Rabotai, very easy to not feel that love. Very easy to not feel that compassion, that chemla, that beautiful love that Hashem showed us in Mitzrayim. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, no, every single night we're going to speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're going to remind ourselves that yes, it's dark, and yes, we don't understand, and yes, it's very, very, very painful, and it's enough already, it's enough already. But we must never forget, it's all love, it's all chemla. There's a unique relationship that Hashem has with us that does not exist with anyone else. Pesach and Shabbos are the only two times that we tell non-Jews to go away. What Shabbos? Shabbos is a day of love. Like the Ramban says, along with this, the Ramban says, why do we not bring a carbon chatas on Shabbos? Because ki al kol pishayim techas ahava. On all averas, on all misdeeds, love covers over. And like the Nesiv Shalom says, the gematria of Shabbos, take a look. Ahava b'chol nefesh, ahava b'chol leiv, ahava b'chol ma'id. And Pesach is called Shabbos, because these are the two times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a gift above our level, a gift of love. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you always have to remember this gift of love in the darkest of times. And that's what keeps us going. That's what pushes us through. We don't understand, but we know it's all love. We know it's all compassion. We know there's a special relationship. We know that he will never give up on us. We know that at the end, we will all understand how it was all good for us. And we should all be Zohar Rabotai as we go through this unprecedented Pesach, unprecedented, to really not get these messages into our children. We don't understand, but we know one thing. We're special. We're unique. It's a whole new Seder, and it's a Seder of love that exists just for us in HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
I want to close with a story. First, I'd like to thank very much Rabbi Horowitz and Rabbi Heller for their beautiful and passionate Dibrei Torah, and thank you all for joining us for a beautiful, beautiful learning on the Haggadah. I'm going to unmute in a moment. I want to close with this story, which fits very beautifully into Rabbi Heller. And then Bez Hashem, we should merit to inspire at our Siddurim and to try to connect to these messages. I'm very crushed to hear what Rabbi Heller just said a moment ago. I personally, my wife and I personally, were the beneficiaries of Rabbi Rothschild's incredible kindness to us. We were in Lakewood. It's very close to home, and we're all nefesh achas, as Rabbi Horowitz says, shivim nefesh. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking the tzaddikim, and it certainly requires a cheshbon and nefesh in a very, very deep way. The Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, was visited by at a Seder, we're talking about now, right after the war. And I think it was even before he was the Ger Rebbe. And the survivor came, and the Gera Rebbe began to contemplate this phrase that's in front of you, where we say that maybe we should start talking about the Haggadah, the story of Exodus from Rosh Chodesh. And then we say, no, Bayom. And then we said, no, I Bayom Ahu, maybe from while it's still day. Tamalomar Bavur Zeh. No, Bavur Zeh means because of this. Lo Amart, Varezeh Lo Amart, Yele B'Shar Sheyesh Matzor Amor Munacham Nefanecha. The only time you can talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim is when there's matzah and maror. And the Hasidim say that there's Pesach matzah and maror. What's the matzah and maror? Because matzah represents contentiousness and matzah represents anius lechemoni. And maror represents unbelievable bitterness. That the greatness of the Yid, this is what the Beis Yisrael kept on saying, V'amarti ela b'shar sheyesh matzah maror munachem lefanecha. There are many beautiful ideas that tell us that the Karban Pesach is like a Karban Toda. The Karban Pesach is like a Thanksgiving offering, and that's the depth of the question of Shabachol HaLeilos Anu Ochim Chametz Matzah. The Karban Toda is eaten Chametz and Matzah, but HaLeila Azeh Kulo Matzah. On this night, the Karban Pesach, which is like the Thanksgiving offering, is what? Is Kulo Matzah. It only comes with Matzah. All the other nights you can eat the Karban Toda, roasted, cooked, however you want it. Basot Tzli Shalok Mavusha Laila Zeh Kulo Tzli, only roasted. The greatness of the Jew is they can sing the song of redemption before redemption. That the Iker Geula is by Yom, but we're still singing the redemption by Laila. Lo Amarti Ela B'Shar Sheyesh Matzo Mora Munachem Fanecha. To be able to sing the Shevach of Hashem, Ashir La Hashem, even in the night, Ki Gomel Alai, that we are feeling and expressing the redemption that will be as if it was already. This is the unique gift of the Jew, to sing Balayla, Balayla Shiro, Shiro Ami. And this is why we sing Shira Shirim Balayla. Yehi Ratzon, we should be Zoche, that in the Laylas of the individual and the Laylas of the nation, we should sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nocha min HaZvachim min HaPsachim, and we should be able to sing, and like it was the first Pesach night, it was Kulo Yom, as we say in the Haggadah, the end by Nirtza, this Pesach night should be Kulo Yom, and we should be Bez Hashem Bizoche, to see the beautiful luminescence, the beautiful light, the incredible aur, the aur of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mheira b'yameinu, amen v'amen. I want to thank you all for coming, and I'm going to actually try to unmute everybody here, if I know how to do that, and this way we can say a proper good night to each other.
I'd like to...
Yeah.
Our very own Bob Linder had a grandbaby today.
Oh!
Something good and wonderful, and so we should see.
That's a beautiful thing. I would like to wish a mazel tov to Mrs. Brander, who had a grandson today also.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov, Rabbi.
Mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov. Baruch Hashem. We were zoche to have my son Yaakov and the daughter-in-law Sarah had a baby boy, Bez Hashem, today a few hours ago in Lakewood, New Jersey. And we will likely not be attending that bris unless something radical changes, right. But I wish Bob Linder tremendous bracha natzlacha nachas. And if it's a girl, we could talk. Is it a girl or a boy?
Boy.
It was a boy. Okay, there'll be chavrusas. There'll be chavrusas.
Nachas, Rebbe, nachas. Nachas.
Shkoyach, shkoyach. Ach, gebaldik, gebaldik. Rebbe Horowitz, thank you very much. Rebbe Ella, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.